Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, October the 24th, 2013. Frank Marzullo, Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on spirits that attach to leaders and attack the church. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Right now, let's take care of the spirit of Absalom. The story can be found in 2 Samuel, chapters 13 through 18. Absalom was one of King David's sons who came from one of King David's many wives. Absalom had a sister named Tamar, who was raped by their half-brother, Amnon. And this was a family disgrace. This was a family disgrace, and King David was not taking any action against it. And Absalom hated his half-brother for doing this to his sister. And more likely, he was more upset with King David for not taking any action. And his anger burned in him for 2 years. So Absalom, after 2 years, decides to throw a sheep-shearing party. And he invites all of King David's sons. And they all come. And we read that in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 1 through 3. And we read, went ahead of myself. Take it back. Okay, I'm an Indian giver. I'm taking it back. An Indian given spirit. Okay. So he hated his half brother, and he commanded. He had the sheep shearing party, and he got all his servants to kill his half brother. And so his half brother was killed, and then King David found out about it and banished him from the kingdom for a couple of years. He comes back a couple of years later, and King David accepts him back in into the kingdom, but still doesn't see him for a couple of years more. So he's banished from the kingdom, returns back into the kingdom, and then he's ostracized by his father. Do you think that would pretty much tick this guy off? Yeah. Well, anyway, 2 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 3, we read that he had a chariot of 50 runners, this is Absalom, that went before him to the gates of the city and stole the hearts of the people. Picture this now, he had 50 runners. I don't know if they got into running outfits or what. Yeah. Jogging outfits and sneakers and... No, they didn't do that. They had 50 runners, and he goes before him to the gates of the city and to steal the hearts of the people away. And I guess that what they did when they ran, I'm not sure, but they probably ran ahead of the chariot yelling and proclaiming who was coming down the road. They probably yelled, King Absalom! Prince Absalom is coming! Prince Absalom! And so they probably did that, more than likely, to clear the road out of the way. And so we read the story of 2 Samuel 15, that he goes to the gates of the city and he sits there, and that and verse 2, now and then Absalom would arise early and stand by the way to the gate, and in that, so that when anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, Absalom would call him and say to him, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. And then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy or king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that if I were made judge in the land, that everyone who has a suit or cause could come to me, and then I would give him justice. So it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him by the hand and kiss him. And then, in this manner, Absalom acted towards all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So, in other words, he cut the people off from seeing the king. And he was going to give them justice, and he was going to rule, and he was going to do that. Now, this happened at the gate of the city. Now, this is very interesting. The next verse here. Verse 7. Now, it came to pass after 40 years. Everyone say 40 years.
40.
He was doing this for 40 years. Now, some of you may have acted as an Absalom, or maybe you have an Absalom in your church, and this spirit's very patient.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it sits under authority.
That's right.
As it's patiently stealing the hearts of the people away. And then you hear of churches having splits.
Yeah.
And you go, what in the world happened? It's because somebody in the line of leadership there has decided to steal the hearts of the people away a little at a time, and they're very patient about it. And so after 40 years, please let me go to Hebron, he said, and pay my vow that I made to the Lord, for your servant took a vow while I dwelt in here. So he lets him go. While he's in Hebron, the horn is blown and the announcement is made. Absalom is king in Hebron. David hears about it, and he goes, let's get out of here. And he flees with his men. Right? He flees. One of the spirit does is it positions itself. Absalom said to the people who have lawsuits, come and see me. But that was the king's right. You see, that's the king's right to hear the disputes of the people. That was the king's right. He says, oh, he's too busy to hear you. Oh, but if I were made pastor, if I were made your leader, I would hear you. And so there it happens. And so what happens here is that he steals the right of the king to hear the case. Now, listen, if you're in a position of leadership, it is your right and your duty to hear what's going on in your church. And if somebody sneaks in the way and gets in the way of that, that's an Absalom spirit.
That's right.
Now, most of the people, this happened, by the way, this took 40 years to steal the hearts away. And we find out that King David, remember who King David was? He was the guy that took the head off of Goliath. No fear in this guy. All of a sudden, he becomes afraid. He becomes fearful and he runs. What in the world is that about? I mean, you know, come on. This guy's a mighty man. Saul is slain his thousand. David is 10,000. King David was a mighty man of war. That's why God loved him so much. He was a mighty man of war and yet at the same time a worshiper. So let that be two things that you want to strive for. Being a warrior for God and being a worshiper of God. Let that be, because God loved David. He was a man after his own heart, even though he slept around, even though he committed murder. He was still noted as a man after God's own heart. So anyway, he gets fearful, and he runs away. The Spirit makes mighty men, brave men of war, flee from their place. David was a mighty man. He fled. Now, it may be, in your secular work, that this may be happening too. There's a spirit of Absalom that is belittling you a little at a time, tearing you down a little at a time, and making you and displacing you out of your rightful position at work or in the church, displacing you. And it may be a job, a ministry, or a people that are too many things that seem to be against them and too many things that are happening against them that they just run out of the work and say, I quit. Or they run out of the ministry, I quit. And that's a spirit. The spirit trying to displace you of your rightful position as king. Right? That's a spirit. This not only happens in ministries, but like I say, it happens in secular jobs. A little at a time, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, stealing away the heart of the boss or the position or the leader. So that, like I said before, you feel like the rug is pulled out from underneath you. You don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you're out. You're afraid. You're running. You have to go start another church. You have to go start another ministry. You have to go and hide for a while and escape. You don't know what happened. And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit is doomed from the beginning because what happened after this, it created a civil war. 20,000 people died. Right? This 20,000 people died. And if you were a follower of Absalom died too. And all the people of his leadership that he surrounded himself with, they died. It's doomed from the very beginning. So this spirit is doomed, and the people that are surrounding the Absalom, they're doomed too. The people that follow the Absalom are doomed as well. So if you're in a church and you see the church split, or you see something happening in the church, and you feel like you're being drawn away from the rightful leader, the one who's placed there by God, by an Absalom type of a person trying to draw people away, the innocent people will die with Absalom. Understand that. Now, these are the characteristics of Absalom. It is disloyal. It's rebellious to authority. It starts out of a seed of dissatisfaction. Oh, I don't like what the pastor said. Well, I think that's eerie. They should have done this first or done that first over there. They should have. Dissatisfaction. So it starts out as a seed of dissatisfaction. and then disloyalty against the authority. Absalom's life, and Absalom's life, it was the way that his daughter, that Tamar's rape, that he didn't do it quick enough. He didn't take care of business quick enough. And so it may be that you're dissatisfied with your pastor, or somebody's dissatisfied with you for not taking care of business quick enough. And so it starts a little dissatisfaction, and then it grows. In Absalom's life, it was the way, like I said, Tamar's rape. But it took too long. I want to tell you something. It starts out in dissatisfaction with leaders. And many of us have been dissatisfied with a leader. You may have been in a church and you're dissatisfied. And then what happens is that with this dissatisfaction, you should go to the leader privately and talk to the leader privately, but instead you start gathering people around you and you start murmuring against that leader, and you're saying to the people, I know a different way, I know a better way. Oh, if I were made king, I would hear your case. And so this starts out that way. If this is happening, if he will not hear you, I tell you this, if your leader will not hear you, leave the church.
We need to stop one.
Yeah. Don't murmur against them. Don't rebel against them. All right? And I tell you what, God doesn't want trouble stirred up in the church. But if two men cannot walk unless they agree, amen? So if you're not in agreement with him, don't stir up trouble, don't start a rebellion, don't start a dissatisfaction with other church members. Don't try to get them to go against your leader. You know? And maybe you, something inside of you that needed correcting, and you say, the pastor's wrong. Don't do that. Leave the church. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Leave the other members alone. Let them stay where they're at. Don't murmur against your pastor. Don't bring the seed of dissatisfaction into their hearts. It's the right thing to do is to leave the church and don't stir up trouble. Now here are the characteristics of Absalom. This is what he does. He starts out as a seed of dissatisfaction. He takes matters into his own hands. The Absalom spirit will get others he'll get others to do the dirty work too. He had his servants kill his half-brother, right? So he'll get others to do the dirty work. And if you're looking back in the history of your life, you may be thinking of other people, and when they started out as a seed of dissatisfaction against you, and all of a sudden there's a team of people that are after you, and you don't know why. It could be an Absalom spirit. Number four, it starts to manipulate and maneuver to gain recognition, but at the same time, it still remains under authority, right? Still remains. He took 40 years. Could be a long time that this person remains under authority, but yet he's gaining people all around him. The spirit wants to be a leader. That's number five. It wants authority. It wants to be glorified. And it climbs over people at the top. If you're at the top, it wants to climb over you to get to the top. Now this reminds me of a story. This reminds me of a story when my dad and I used to go crabbing. Now, I know that some of the people here are very offended with shellfish, but put that in the back burner, because this is a story! All right. When I was really young, my dad and I would go out crabbing. We would go out getting crabs in the bay. And we would go out to Matheson Hammock Park in South Miami, Florida, and we'd throw out the line, the chicken neck on the line with a bunch of sinkers, and we'd sit there and wait. I'd hold the line until I felt the tug of the crab on the line, and then I would slowly pull the line in. This is what my dad taught me. Slowly. Very slow. Get a net underneath the crab. You can see the crab. And then he'd get it up. And we had a 5-gallon bucket off to the side. We put it in the bucket. When we had a bucket full of crabs, I was amazed. I was a young kid. I was a young boy. Now, picture a young boy with a bunch of crabs. And the stick poking it, poking it in the eye. Get behind me. The eye would, eyes were out here like this, and poke it, and the eye would go in. Woo! But I would look at these crabs, and the amazing thing about these crabs were, was when you had a bucket, you know, you get about half of a bucket full, and then I noticed that these crabs, one would try to always get out of the bucket, and would slowly come up the side of the bucket, climbing on the backs of the other ones, and get up to the top, get ready to pull itself over the bucket and get free. And another crab would reach up and pull it down. And this would go on. I mean, it's like hours of entertainment, you know. It's like, you're almost out there, buddy. You almost got out. And so the crab would pull, the other crab underneath would pull the other one down. And you see, that reminded me that the Absalom spirit does that. The one that's at the top has got to come down, because you're up at the top. I'm not going to let you at the top. And that's what the Absalom spirit does. You know, in Christianity, we don't do that. In Christianity, we're supposed to raise people up and push them up. Up to the top.
Get them up.
Not to pull the ones that are at the top down. So the Absalom does that. So that was number five. Number six, the Absalom spirit criticizes everything and contaminates the body of Christ. It tries to undermine leadership and pick off leaders. Number seven, it always suggests a better way. This is a better way. It's really serving better if you do it my way. They did it wrong. So the Absalom spirit is always saying that. It gathers followers around themselves. It feeds his followers negative criticism about the leader. So if you find yourself that you got a gathering of people around you, and you're starting to feed them negative criticism about a leader, guess what? You're the Absalom.
That's right.
Right? And that needs to be repented of. That's number nine. Number ten, it distrusts and resents true authority. And it camouflages, number 11, it camouflages itself in bitterness. Now, say this, I command out of me the spirits that position me in front of the anointed to make me use others to do dirty work. The spirit that makes me try to steal the hearts of the congregation. Every spirit of negative criticism, distrust, resentment, bitterness, unresolved disappointments, dissatisfaction, fear, hidden agendas, hidden strategies, hidden alliances, contempt, fault-finding, revenge, murder, rebellion, conspiracy, self-promotion, manipulation, self-ambition, self-advancement, self-glorifying, treachery, pride, judging, disunity, disloyalty, disharmony, division, factions, spirit of undermining, spirit of false son, a false daughter, a false brethren, leadership overturning. I command you out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. So you may have found yourself under the influence or under the attack of this spirit. Pray with me. I close the door of Absalom in and over my life through the blood of Jesus Christ. I proclaim that I am born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I will fulfill my destiny to the total fullness that I am destined to. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the book here, I pray a family prayer over you, a prayer of blessing over you. And I want to do that here too. I loose unto you the spirit of health, of well-being, and the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, the spirit of strength and the spirit of true spiritual authority, the spirit of prosperity and abundance in Jesus' name. And I loose upon you and your spiritual house and your natural house these things. I loose the power of family salvation and the promise that all within your household will be saved in the name of Jesus. I release the spirit of true sonship and true daughtership in Jesus' name. The spirit of light, wisdom, and faithfulness. I pray that the Holy Spirit release unto you at His appointed time the gifts of the Holy Spirit for you to be able to discern spiritual matters. And now I release this anointing upon the true sons and true daughters in Jesus' name. And the last one here we're going to deal with is the Saul spirit. And the Saul spirit... No, it's not the last one. Gotcha. Okay, everybody stand up for a minute. I know it's getting long and it's tiring, but this is well needed. You got to go to the bathroom? This would be a good time to go. You want to run out of here, because at the end I'm going to do ministry. I don't want you to be hopping and jumping and skipping around here. You can hear me from wherever you're at in these bathrooms. So the Saul spirit is a spirit that expressed itself out of Saul and attached to his characteristics and traits like all the others, likely entered him well before he became a leader. King Saul was the king of Israel. He was anointed with oil and placed in that position by Samuel the prophet. Later, however, Samuel regretted making him king because King Saul had a mind of his own and did not want to follow the Lord completely. As I bring this teaching to you on this spirit, you may recognize some of these characteristics in you or the leaders that were over you. You may have been under a Saul spirit, and once again, you may have been operating in a Saul spirit. If you're operating in this spirit or under the influence of the spirit or being controlled by the spirit from another, you may know it or maybe not know it. And there are times that when others operate in evil spirits, they don't know that they're operating in evil spirits. Sometimes you don't know that you're operating in an evil spirit. Remember when in Luke chapter 9, verse 55 through 56, Jesus rebuked his disciples. That's chapter 9, verse 55 and 56. He rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." What did they want to do? They wanted to call down fire and destroy this town for shunning Jesus. And so Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you are of." And so we find out that sometimes we operate in that. You may sit down now. You got your blood circulating again.
Thank you.
So Peter did not know that the devil was in him either, that this evil spirit was in him. Remember? Jesus said what was going to happen to him and to himself, and Peter took him aside to rebuke Jesus. Imagine that, going rebuking God in the flesh. So Peter goes and takes him aside and rebukes him and says, "This shouldn't happen to you." This is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. "It's not going to happen to you. Far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you." But verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." And sometimes that happens to us. We're mindful of the things of men instead of the things of God. We put our mind on worldly things and things of men. Well, we know that Peter was not Satan. We know that what was in him, this motivated him to say that, was of Satan. And he operated in the sphere of that. So Saul may have done things he didn't even know he was doing. But later we find out that it was not of God. So Saul produces a distorted picture of God. The Saul spirit produces a distorted picture of God, the Father. To everyone, he is fathering. So you may be fathering people. You may be ministering to people and shepherding people underneath you. but you have yourself a distorted picture of the Father in your mind. Do you remember I said one time before about paradigms, how you view your life, how you view things through life's paradigms? Well, Saul, he had a distorted picture of God, and he viewed his earthly father probably differently than he viewed his heavenly father. Or maybe in the same way, I'm not sure, but we'll look on here. It distorts the deep personal relationship that God the Father wants to cultivate between you and Him. Saul, the Saul spirit, is a controlling spirit. If you are raised in a family, in a household, with a controlling spirit, you're more than likely, you'll end up that way too. I want you to look through your life. If you are a controller, look and see in your household who is a controller. Probably one of your parents. And you'll wind up with the same tendencies yourself. And you'll seek to be drawn to people who are like that too. You'll find yourself being drawn to that because that's natural. It feels natural to you. And the Saul spirit is a controlling spirit because it feels normal. You're raised that way. So you feel led to go that way. And all Saul's sons, by the way, were destroyed except one grandson, Mephibosheth, who was crippled when his nurse fled with him in his arms and dropped him on his head. And he's crippled with both feet. The effect of the Saul spirit is to pick off your spiritual sons and cripple your ministries. So here we go. We're going to look at it now. The first characteristic that manifested out of King Saul's are these. They look religious and even have the word of God in their mouth from time to time and speak powerful in meetings where the Holy Spirit is moving, such as when Saul prophesied with the prophets, 1 Samuel 10:10 and 1 Samuel 19, verse 23. Where he stripped naked and he prophesied all day long and all night in front of Samuel the prophet. And the Holy Spirit will move through a Saul's, through the Saul spirit, a person who has a Saul spirit, from time to time. But when the meeting's over, they're back to their normal ways. Number two, the Saul spirit takes matters into his own hands, just like Absalom. The men of war were waiting for the prophet Samuel to come to make the offering before the battle, and many started to leave the battlefield because there was a great delay. Saul was waiting for Samuel, and Samuel wasn't coming. Therefore, Saul took it upon himself to make the offering, which is not his rightful position. Now remember, I want you to look at these things in the natural, but also in the spiritual too. I want you to understand that there's a spiritual meaning behind what happens naturally in these stories. They're not just stories. There's something spiritual, deep spiritual going on here. Now, it was the rightful position and the duty of the prophet to make the offerings. The Saul, the person with the Saul spirit, steals that away and does it himself. And it was an offense to God. 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 13, says that Samuel the prophet came after Saul had made the offering. And verse 11, Samuel said, "What have you done?" And verse 12, Saul replied, "I felt compelled to offer the offering. I forced myself. I felt compelled." Now, compulsion is demonic. That's one of the things that you will know if there's demonic behavior is when you're compelled.
That's right.
All right? So what we have here is we have a spirit that is compelling. If you find yourself driven and compelled to do something that is out of your job description, if you will, and you find yourself doing that, there could be a Saul spirit attached there. And one of the things that demons do is they compel, they force you to sin. So the spirit believes that the end justifies the means. There is no sign of repentance for doing what he did. In the same verse, it says that he shifted the blame to the people. The Saul spirit will shift the blame. When you find people and you confront them with the sin in their life and they shift the blame, look for a Saul spirit. Look for a Saul spirit. There's no sign of repentance. And then he shifts the blame to the prophet, to the one who's ministering. "You weren't here. It's your fault. You weren't here." So he tries to shift the blame back on the pastor or the leader. So what we have here is when you find yourself doing that, it could be a Saul spirit. Or if you find somebody doing that to you, it could be a Saul spirit. You didn't come at the appointed time, it said. Later in the story, we find in 1 Samuel 15, the prophet ordered him to destroy all the Amalekites. You remember that story? He comes back with a bad, the sheep, and the best of the flock, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The livestock, and Saul returned after the battle, and he put his, but before he did, he stopped and he made an altar. He stopped and he made an altar for himself.
Wow.
He returned after the battle and set up a monument for himself. That's pride. You'll find that there's, in a Saul spirit, there's a lot of pride. You'll find him making monuments to himself. You'll find that when he talks, that the Saul spirit will give you, instead of testimonies, bragamonies. You will find that the Saul spirit will be the one who puts the focus on himself. Instead, Saul returned after battle, set up a monument for himself. He wants to have his own honor and put the focus on his own glory, his own achievements, his own ministry, and the glory of his own house. Okay? So that you'll find that in a Saul spirit. Now, after he erected the monument to himself, he returned to King, with King Agag of the Amalekites. And so we find that story here. And in verse 20, he's challenged. And he said, I obeyed the Lord's voice. And of course, we know what the prophet said in verse 23. The prophet says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Family, this is partial obedience. I tell you what, when you find yourself partially obeying God, that's self-idolatry. That's not only rebellion, it's self-idolatry. When you find yourself partially obeying the word of God, you say, I can do this. The word says that don't do any of this, and you say, well, I can cherry pick through this. I can do this, and I can do this. That's partial obedience to God, and that is self-idolatry. When you disobey God, we find in verse 22, still in chapter 15, verse 22, and we can see what drove Saul to disobey. I was afraid of the people. Fear of man. Okay, so we have the fear of man. When you find a Saul spirit, you will find that he's afraid of disapproval. You will find that he will not stand up with integrity because he's afraid of disapproval and he won't do the right thing.
Exactly.
He won't do the right thing. So number three, Saul was rebellious and arrogant and stubborn and fearful. Number four, he was remorseful but did not truly repent. Number five, he controls others by fear, intimidation, emotional manipulation, and shame and put-downs and punishment. 1 Samuel 15. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me, please, before the elders and the people, and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. He put a little pressure on the prophet. And and he intimidated the prophet later in 1 Samuel 16. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. Remember, he wanted to go away from this guy, Saul. But guess what? He was afraid. He put a little intimidation in the prophet. Number six. And before I get there, I find it it's very interesting. I sat under a Saul one time. And I found it very hard to unweave myself from his ministry. Unweave myself due to intimidation and fear. And some of you you find yourself under a Saul, but you're not sure how you can get away from this. Because there's a spirit of intimidation and fear that's attached to a Saul. Number six, he uses people to make him look good. David made Saul look good. He killed Goliath. He won victories. He saved Israel from the Philistines in many battles. That's 1 Samuel 18, verse 5 and 6. Okay. The seventh thing, Saul has to be number one in power and fame and prominence and position. A Saul spirit must win at all costs. He cannot celebrate success and exaltation of others. When you find that you're sitting under Saul, maybe you yourself are Saul, and you get a little upset when somebody else gets ahead of you or gets a spotlight on them instead of you, that could be a Saul spirit operating. And you may feel this jealousy. I mean, you spoke about this the other day, a spirit of jealousy that operates in people. Well, Saul had jealousy, and he felt that his power and his fame and his prominence and position were in jeopardy because of David. David started to shine a little brighter than he did. So the woman sang and said, Saul killed his thousands and David the 10,000s. And so all of a sudden he became fearful. A person who has a Saul spirit, number 8, will be insecure and fearful, explodes with outbursts of anger, and that's how he controls others. Guilty. Guilty. A Saul, number 9, could be suspicious of people. You know, I'm just going to give you the points, and I'm going to give you the description. You can look it up later. Here are the points. I know your butts are getting tired. Number 9, a person with a Saul spirit is suspicious. 1 Samuel 18, verses 9 through 12. Saul will try to take out and kill the ministry of those whom he perceives to be a threat of his position in his kingdom. Number 10, a person with a Saul spirit cannot be trusted. Remember what he did is he promised his daughter to David and then he switched. He switched daughters. And he cannot be trusted. Number 11, he's paranoid. He's got the fear factor. And so great that he's capable of murder. That's 1 Samuel 19, verse 2. Number 12, there's an uproar and confusion around him. Jonathan went home to check on Saul's mind. Number 13, a person with the Saul spirit demands loyalty. 1 Samuel 20. Verse 30 through 34, the Godfather. Number 14, a person with the Saul spirit will not affirm others and will publicly dishonor them. Saul dishonored his own son publicly and tried to spear his own son with a javelin. 1 Samuel 20, verse 33. Number 15, a Saul spirit will try to manipulate by using gifts and power and pity exchanged for the information to be used against the anointed David's. Some of you are anointed Davids here. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7 through 12. 7 through 23. Number 16. He is deceived and cannot perceive things correctly. Saul's accused his own son of stirring up trouble with David to ambush him. In actuality, he was out to ambush the David. The Davids. And that's what the Saul does. He goes out to ambush the Davids. Number 17, he hears only what he wants to hear. Saul's listen to people who lie rather than those who tell the truth. Number 18, he's a perfectionist, demanding judgment. He cannot receive love and therefore cannot give it. Number 19, the Saul spirit forces the anointed servants of the Lord to flee from cave to cave. He forces them to flee from cave to cave. And you may be involved in a ministry, starting a ministry, and the Saul that's over you will start hounding you so that you go from cave to cave. You get away from the attacks of him. And so I say to you that there's some here that operated in it and some that have been under it. So if you'll say with me, I renounce and repent, of unforgiveness towards persons with the Saul spirit that were over me in leadership. I forgive them. I submit to you, Lord, that I've held resentment against them. And now I ask for your help to forgive them. Now, receive forgiveness in the name of Jesus. You've forgiven, now receive forgiveness. Lord, I forgive them for controlling me. I renounce the soulless grip that the Saul spirit has over me. I cut and sever the controlling actions of that Saul spirit in Jesus' name. Now, whether you've been a Saul or I've been a victim of Saul, I want you to speak this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the Saul spirit and all spirits connected to the Saul spirit to leave me. I command unforgiveness, rejection, abandonment, condemnation, accusation, criticism, stubbornness, self-idolatry, dictatorial spirit, cold-heartedness, insincere, false front, false responsibility, greed, pride, jealousy, disobedience, abuse, verbal abuse, fear of disapproval, suspicion, fear of man, fear of losing face, coward, escape, withdraw, pouting, running from cave to cave. Betrayal.
I command you to go
in the name of Jesus.
Come out of me.
And any spirit that makes me want to be number one and demands loyalty, come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Okay, and the last one here, I know this is long, the spirits of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom. Remember when they were going back to rebuild the wall, and the Arabians, or Arabs, came out and mocked Nehemiah and all that they were doing there. I'm going to make it really quick, all right, so that you don't sit in the seat too long. Should I just end it and let them, you know, get the book? We'll miss all the fun. So anyway, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Amorite official, and Gershom, the Arab, heard of it, and they laughed at us and despised us. So the first thing is that there's mockery coming at you as you're rebuilding the walls around the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you start to be renewed in the things of the Holy Spirit, when you start to grow in the Holy Spirit, people are going to come around and challenge you by mocking you. And that's what the Spirit does. They laugh at us and despise us. And they accuse. And says, why are you rebelling against the king? Why are you going against the Methodist Church? Why are you going against the Baptist Church? Don't you know that you're supposed to belong to the congregation of the people? Why are you a house church? Why are you this? Why are you that? And they start mocking you and laughing at you. Why are you against the established order? And so they mock you openly. And Nehemiah responded in verse 20 and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, that you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." So he shuts them out. Nehemiah shuts them out. And there are things that manifest from the enemy when you see Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom at work. These are spirits at work. Whenever you see the enemies of the Lord, these are representatives of evil spirits. So we see this at work in people's lives. The first thing, they got very upset with them. They got angry. Nehemiah 4, verse 7. The enemy got wroth with them, very angry that they were being closed out. Now the devil's going to get mad at you for closing him out. When you start to do deliverance, he gets pretty upset with you because now he no longer has access. You're sealing up the breaches and the holes in your wall. And so he gets very upset. He gets wroth. So that's one of the characteristics. He gets wroth at you. Verse 8. This is Nehemiah 4, 8. All of them conspired together to come and fight against the city. You will find that the demons band themselves together. They link themselves together to come and fight against what you are doing, the move of God in your life. So they start to link themselves together against you. That's why we call them out of groups. That's why where you see one, there's another in the same group pattern. So we try to get rid of the group pattern that way because they do link themselves. They conspire to fight against the city. And then another thing they do is they come to hinder the work, to fight against it. So they came to, you will find opposition as you move closer and closer to what the Holy Spirit wants you to look like, the mirror image of Jesus. He wants you to look, you know, just like Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is trying to make you look like Jesus Christ. And so the enemy will try to hinder you in your movement in that direction. So that's another thing that these spirits do. They hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And the definition of hinder means to obstruct, thwart, impede, delay, and retard, and block. Ever find that happening in your life? You seem to get to a level and you stop. Something stops, you don't seem to grow there. That's the spirit of Tobiah. That's the spirit of that came against Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, the three. the three unholy trinity, if you will. And they join forces, they obstruct, they thwart, they impede, they delay. And then they try to sneak in. In verse 11 and 12, the enemy will try to sneak in. If he can't get in over here, he's going to go over here. Yeah, if he can't go through the door, he gets in through the window. So they try to sneak in. They won't even know it till we're amongst them. Remember that? They won't know it till we're amongst them. You go, what in the world? How did I get in this position? How did this happen to me? All of a sudden, you are destroyed from within. And you go, how in the world did this happen? Well, they snuck in. And that's what I want you to understand. They weaken with threatening letters. They weaken. They send letters back to the king saying, they're starting up over here. They're cleaning house over here. And so the king of the, if you will, and I spoke the other night on the four things in Ephesians 6:12. They go back to the principality. They go back to the principality and say, they're starting up over here. Send us reinforcements. And so the enemy tries to sneak in. Then if that doesn't work, you try to send threatening letters. How many here have received a letter from somebody that has thwarted you or made you feel condemned or said that your ministry is really no good and that you should go and hide somewhere? How many have received a letter from somebody? I have. I've received a letter one time where I wouldn't baptize somebody because their Jesus was not the same as my Jesus. See? One time I got a threatening letter. They wrote to my pastor. By the way, my pastor's name is Pastor Dom Abello of Spring Hill, Tennessee. Okay, if anybody wants to write him a letter, you go right ahead. Because she couldn't trust the name of Jesus. But only Yeshua she could trust. Because Jesus was the representative of the ones who killed her family in Nazi Germany. Well, that means she's got another Jesus. I know Yeshua is Jesus and Jesus is Yeshua. I know that, but she didn't. I can't baptize her because we're not on the same page.
Right.
So, anybody ever sent a threatening letter to you or a letter of condemnation or shame or guilt or anything like that?
Sure.
Okay, see, you identify with that.
Yeah.
And that's a spirit. That's a spirit. And so these three, Sanballat, Tobiah, who was the other guy?
Gershom,
thanks. And they sent letters back. Say this with me. I command out of me. The spirit of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom. I command every hindering spirit that prevents me, obstructs me, thwarts, impedes, delays, retards, blocks me from rebuilding my spiritual walls. Believe me. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Go in Jesus' name. Here's more. You've got to get the book. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you release the Holy Spirit to heal and to release your healing ministry and angels right now, Lord, to these and surround this area as we pray for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, I now apply Jesus
and
His shed blood
to every spirit
that I had that attached to me as a leader
and attacked the body of Christ.
I apply the shed blood of Jesus to those I have wounded. And I ask you, Lord, to heal me of my wounds. In Jesus' name. Jim asked me to do something before I finish here. And some of you missed what we did this afternoon. There was a holy impartation that happened this afternoon as we applied and the release of the Holy Spirit to certain things. And it was the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have missed it. Some of you have already received it. So don't come back up here again. You've already received him. All right? I'm just saying that because there's no need for you to come back up here. If you've already had the impartation and the release of the gift and the gifts of the Holy Spirit into your life. Now, just a little short thing here. Thank you, Lord. Paul wished to do this. Romans, that's where I'm going, Romans 1 says this, Paul, for I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. He was writing to the church in Rome. So we have Paul who wants to impart gifts. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. He wants to impart gifts. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to impart gifts to those today. Remember in 2 Timothy 1, Paul is reminding Timothy to rekindle afresh the gift of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of my hands. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 6. So we have the gifts by the laying on of hands, and we have an impartation by the gifts of the laying on of hands. So I'd like to ask those, and Jim, come on up here, please, brother. I want you to instruct how this is to be done.
We submit ourselves to you, fellow brethren in the kingdom of God. For many of you that come from around the country, maybe perhaps out of the country, you may not have ever had the laying of hands for the ministry and the Great Commission, the preach the kingdom, the nation repent, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Certainly our position in alignment, considering that many of you may be under apostolic authority, surely is a professional implication and God anoints. So we will not usurp authority, but simply act as instruments of God and not covet your gifts. God give it, man can't take it away. Those of you that have never had the laying on hands of the Great Commission, then you're welcome to come up. I ask that the teachers will come and join us up here. Amen. We pray that during the course of this conference, the 18-year conference, that we as the men and women of God that were selected by God to represent the kingdom of God into your life, we pray that, that we all came with humility of mind, and some of you may have even witnessed our tears, how we kept back nothing that was profitable to you, that we did not shun the gospel. So I take you to record this day of the Lord that we would be pure from blood of all men, that we brought forth what God gave us. We had no agendas. And so I pray to you to take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock which God has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Each of you have been called to be soldiers in God's army. It was an intense week, a tiring week, but God revived tonight. He gave us some good manna. He gave us good word all throughout this conference. Hopefully, if you were like myself, some of you got your parade drained out. There are four essential elements to become a leader. Each of you have leadership in you. Everyone has potential. This was the basis of Jesus choosing the 12. Psalms 101:6 says that he chooses the faithful to walk with him. He chose the faithful. You're going to have to be faithful. All potential leaders have accountability, are responsible, they have ability, and they have authority. These are four essential elements that are necessary for you to become a leader. Leaders and potential leaders in the ministry of deliverance, we like to say to you, God says that he has given each one of us our senses to exercise between, to discern good and evil. But you, as soldiers of God, God wants you to understand, and that we need to understand also how to discern good from good. But there are a lot of good things that can trip up our ministries. Stay on the straight and narrow path that God has sent us on. We have committed our lives to stay on the straight and narrow path. Trust me, all of us have been invited to certain televisions and radios and all ministries. I was offered buildings and everything. All right? We said no. I wish I had a little bit more time, but I'm not going to do it. It would be nice. If we started our ministry in one bathroom, and I was off at a mega church in our city on Holland Boulevard. One bathroom. Everybody had men and women. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, over this entire week of conference, I bind up all of the spirits, every demonic power, over our families, our animals, our homes, over this facility, over our lives, traveling grace and blessings as we depart from here tomorrow, some tonight, and some have already departed. I command every one of those demons, you must leave us and you will go in Jesus' name. I ask the Lord to fill up all of the vacancies, the voids in the minds and our bodies where these evil spirits have left, including our homes, our properties, our assets, every aspect of this ministry, Lake Hammond and Bible Camp. We ask God that the presence of the Holy Spirit will come and do so until all of the spirits are gone. I ask you, Lord, to pour out your healing power down over all areas of the mind, the body that has been ravaged, has been tormented, harmed, wounded in any way, and cleanse us, and cleanse the camp, and cleanse our families, cleanse our personal lives, and heal all of these areas with your precious blood. I ask, Lord, that you assign your ministering angels as needed to protect every person being prayed for, to all deliverance, all healing, all infilling of the Holy Spirit has been completed. I ask you, Lord, to give every one of us detection, discernment, so when the enemy tries to come back, keep his head back inside there and try to harass us, that every one of us will be acutely aware each time the enemy tries to regain access, so he will be stopped and unable to get a foothold. I pray the release in the congregation of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Will you say it? On behalf of Lake Hammond and Bible Camp, we want to thank you for coming with us and having church with us for the last 3 days. Your benediction from 1 Peter 5, 1 through 8. Well, I'll go to 1 through 11. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, and neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Casting all of your care upon him, because he cared for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, and it's to him that will be all glory and dominion forever and ever. The church say amen.
Amen.
God bless the conference and God bless your churches and ministries. We love you. You're dismissed. See you in the morning at 6 o'clock. Breakfast at 8.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.